Welcome to another one of our little broadcasts. And today I want to thank you for listening to us and giving us a chance to enter into your lives and homes and wherever it is that you are listening to us today on the 33rd week in ordinary time, the Sunday thereof, where we'll kind of take a look at the readings for this particular Sunday. But before we do, I do want to thank those who have supported our little ongoing podcast with a $5 monthly amount, which allows us to be able to do these broadcasts and be able to do other things as well. And hopefully with getting these little snippets of help throughout your day and time, that you're able to really grow in your relationship with Christ, which is one of the things that is the main thriving force of this entire endeavor. Mostly because what we're really looking forward to is you to get the understanding that Christianity is not some kind of religious experience. It's not something about what you believe and what you think. It's about how you relate both to God and other people. And one of the helps that gets you there is when you give that $5 monthly support to our ministry. We basically have a couple additional podcasts to help you learn how to really get into the depths of prayer and experience prayer as an ongoing relationship with God. And basically how you would do that if you're not a supporter of us is click on the link below in the little explanation section, which is basically patron.podbeam.com/dtesh, where you basically are going to be able to put at least a $5 donation towards receiving these additional broadcast supports. And hopefully we'll be able to reach our grand plateau of what we're shooting for, which is about 2,000 people helping us each month be able to make this podcast a little bit more of a self-sufficient thing, and also allow us to be able to do advertising and other things that'll help us get our outreach in this ministry towards helping other people. And anything above that amount would really help us go a little bit further into other avenues of being able to be a blessing to society by working with agencies like the St. Vincent de Paul Society for helping those who are in great need and other things along those lines. But those are still down the road things. Things that I'd really like to do is be able to allow us to be able to show you a picture of me while I'm doing so. It's more of a video podcast than a vocal one. But right now, the vocal one kind of works because that's what you're listening to right now. And hopefully you're able to listen to us going down the road on your way to work or wherever it is you're headed to, and really just make us part of your day. And for that, I do thank you for your time and your help. And hopefully I gain your support, both financially and in prayer as well. But without too much more ado, I do want to jump into the readings for this Sunday, which the first reading is a reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. In those days, I, Daniel, heard the word of the Lord. At that time, there shall rise Michael, the great prince, guardian of your people. And it shall be a time unsurpassed in distress, since nations began until that time. At that time, your people shall escape, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some shall live forever, others shall be an everlasting horror and disgrace. But the wise shall shine brightly, like the splendor of the firmament. And those who lead the many to justice shall be like the stars forever. The word of the Lord. You are my inheritance, O Lord. You are my inheritance, O Lord. O Lord, my allotted portion and my cup, you, it is who hold fast my lot. I set the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand I shall not be disturbed. You are my inheritance, O Lord. Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body too abides in confidence, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your faithful one to undergo corruption. You are my inheritance, O Lord. You will show me the path to life, fullness of joys in your presence, the delight at your right hand forever. You are my inheritance, O Lord. The second reading is a letter from the book of Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, every priest stands daily at his ministry, offering frequently those same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But this one offered one sacrifice for sins and took his seat forever at the right hand of God. Now he waits until his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has made perfect forever those who are being consecrated. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer offering for sin. The word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Be vigilant at all times and pray that you have the strength to stand before the Son of Man. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "In those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds, with great power and glory, and then he will send out the angels, and gather his elect from the four winds, and from the end of the earth to the end of the sky. Learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that he is near at the gates. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we're reading these things this Sunday, or listening to these things this Sunday at Mass, we come to what is described as a listing of a couple of the four last things. The four last things are simply that at some point in time in the future, we're all going to get raised from the dead, or those who are alive when Jesus Christ comes again will be raised up into bodies that will be imperishable. It's a promise that at the end of the world, Jesus comes back. So those are the two of those four things. That there's heaven and that there's hell, and that it's eternal. Those are the things that we're to be reminded of when we're thinking in these passages. In fact, in the book of the prophet Daniel, these words that we find here are the first words in the Old Testament that clearly give a direct impression that there was an eternal hope for those who were of the Jewish nation. Now, many people, when they read the Old Testament, they think that what is being talked about from an eternal perspective is more of living forever and not dying in the natural sense, which there is a lot of belief in that can be understood. In fact, there's pretty much in all ancient civilizations like that, there is a perspective that the longer you live, the more righteous you are, and that death, once it's done, is its final declaration of who you are, and you'll never be anything else. In fact, death in a lot of ways is the end of a lot of people as far as anything eternal. So when they look to giving some kind of idea of eternity, there's a lot of missing perspective in many eyes of many religious scholars and philosophers about what the Jewish Old Testament individual believed about the end times. But it's something that, with kind of the Greek culture and their understanding as articulated through philosophers like Aristotle and Plato and the like, that there is a understanding that there's an eternal side to us, that there's more to humanity than just their physical bodies. And that eternal side is the Spirit. A lot of the problems with early Christianity came about with a distinction between spirit and body that led to what was known as the heresy of Gnosticism, where a person was trying to be spiritual in the sense of just being about what was non-physical about them rather than what was physical, and deeming everything physical as something that was to be discarded and was considered to be evil. And while this perspective was renounced by the church fathers and the church itself in those early periods, and kind of if you really read the scriptures, you can understand that there's a linkage between resurrection, like in the sense that Daniel's talking about here, that kind of shows that there's more of a redemption than just a spiritualized redemption of being free from a body of sin, as it was described by Paul in Romans chapter 6. Because what is being presented, what is being talked about, is a simple fact of what Pope John Paul II, a saint of ours in our lifetime, referred to as the unity of the body with the spirit. And this is basically saying that everything that a human being is both their physical body and their spiritual makeup, their non-physical makeup, which consists of their soul. And in combining these two in some kind of understanding, that is what really makes human nature. Human nature is not just the physical, it's the physical and this non-physical element as well. So when we're looking at it, we see that many who were asleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, and some shall live forever, and others to everlasting horror and disgrace, as Daniel points out. And this is the very first real reference that clearly declares a resurrection from the dead. It was something that even by those who were considered to be scribes, that is the people who were able to read and understand the Old Testament law, that they did not adhere to this idea of a bodily resurrection in the sense that they would rise in their physical bodies. The understanding in their mind's eye was that this was more of a spiritualized event. And we still have some of that Gnostic idea in Christianity today, with some groups that believe that there is no second coming in the sense of a physical resurrection at the end of our time, because they kind of fall into the class of what would be considered the hyper-preterist, which a hyper-preterist simply is somebody that believes that since the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, we've entered into a Christian era, which is the new millennium or the new age of the church, and therefore there is no other age. It's just what you live here until the day you die, and then you go into heaven once you die, and that's it. Or you go into hell, and that's it. It's kind of a weird Gnostic perspective of various scriptures, and it kind of denies a very basic principle of Christianity, that we will be raised in the same body that Christ himself was also raised, because when Christ was raised from the dead, he was raised physically. His body is not in a tomb rotting somewhere. That body was raised up on the third day, and Thomas touched him, and the rest of the apostles were able to give him hugs and know him firsthand. Also, he appeared to the woman in women in the garden, like Mary Magdalene and other women throughout, and other disciples, to where they actually saw him physically. So the physical resurrection is a reality that is here. And the reason why it is a physical reality that's there is because we are physical as well as spiritual. And this kind of leads us into the responsorial psalm, where it talks about how the Lord is our inheritance. The actual portion of what it is that we inherit from God is himself. This is where we really see what real eternity is all about. It's that fellowship with God that leads into everything that is eternal and everything. Because we take God as our allotted portion. He's what we want to partake of. It's not a land in a promised land sense that we're going to have a house and a home and a homestead. It's about having the promised land of God himself. And that's kind of the ultimate, more spiritual understanding of what the promised land is, what heaven's all about, is actually a place where we actually are in fellowship with God in a very unique and abiding way. As you know from listening to other broadcasts over the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about us abiding as a branch on a vine. This also bears into this, where our inheritance, our portion, is this being a branch on a vine, this being this person in fellowship with God, because he is the one who is our lot. Our heart's glad, our soul rejoices, and our bodies too abides in this confidence that for all eternity we have an option of being able to serve God as we were initially meant to have done way back in the Garden of Eden, and to get this, because God's not going to abandon our soul to some netherworld. He's not going to leave us to undergo corruption and be blotted out. Both our souls and our bodies will be united one day for an eternal life in his presence. And this is what the psalmist is trying to talk about today and to really get us focused on. And the reason why we're able to do this is because of the sacrifice that's brought about by Jesus dying on the cross. The very gospel message is a gospel of redemption, not just for you from a mental, spiritual, soulish point of view, but it's also a redemption for your bodies. It's a redemption for you to not just have this body that goes old and is in dysfunction or has some type of illness or weakness or disease or whatever, because one of these days that body too will be raised up and renewed and really you'll be able to experience what your body should have always been. It's not that anybody will be fat in heaven, as one guy once jokingly said to me. And I kind of agree with that, on the standpoint that your body will basically be raised in the way that it was supposed to be, in the tip-top shape. So I pretty much imagine that when I get there, I'll have perfect abs. You know, it's one of those things. I mean, I struggle with that down here because I really like to eat things that I really shouldn't. And, you know, I don't like to work out as much as, you know, some people do. And it's just, you know, I think that when we get there, our bodies will be raised, we'll be, you know, more better off. And a lot of it is just because once we get there, we will be consecrated to him as a holy people, a priesthood, those set aside for him in a way that no other generation or created being can possibly be. Because this is what it is. This is what the gospel is all about. It's about hope for eternity, where you get to spend time with God. In fact, when we get into the gospel reading, we see that in great apostolic or apocalyptic terms, the end of the world as it's being depicted, with the sun being darkened, the moon not giving its light, and the powers of the heaven be shaken and such, and really tying into all this apocalyptic literature that came out during the Babylonian captivity, and with the influence of Hellenism and Greek culture in our society, in the society of the Jewish people, the Hellenization, as you will. When we really get into this whole idea of one day there being a passing away of everything in this world that is wrong, there will one day no longer be sin, sickness, death, or anything that will divide us from God, because we'll be his people forever. And that's what the glorification of God in the hope of the resurrection is all about. And it's something that it's something that's a promise, that the Son of Man will come with great power and glory, hearkening back to another image in the book of Daniel, where the Son of Man is coming in the clouds. And I believe that's Daniel 9:27 off the top of my head, where you have the prophecy of the Son of Man coming. And it's a prophecy about how God's coming, and he's collecting us from the four winds, from all the places to which we've been scattered, so that we can be his people forever. And it's something that really does speak of what is to be in all eternity. And it's a knowledge that things will be changed. They won't be the same way that they will be. And that's the great hope that we come into. It's the hope that we focus upon as part of our Christian lives. And it's a reminder as we get ready to go into the end of this year, the year of 2018, and we start looking at, like this Thursday, the Feast of Thanksgiving, or the holiday of Thanksgiving in the United States, and Christmas season slowly around the corner, because we're 2 weeks now away from the beginning of Advent and 6 weeks away from Christmas, that we're really getting into the end of this particular year. And as we come to the end, we need to be able to take account of what's going on. Did we have a good year? Did we have a bad year? Is there something beneficial that can take us forward into tomorrow? And as we take stock of those kind of things, it's a reminder that one of these days, stock will be taken of our lives as to whether or not we really were the kind of Christians that we were supposed to be. And this is what the Alleluia verse points to, that we should be vigilant at all times and pray that we will have strength to stand before the Son of Man, because we want to have him as our portion. We don't want to have hell as our portion. We don't want to be cast off because we chose not to be with him, because we didn't want to believe, we didn't want to act right, we didn't want to live right. And this is what it's all about, because no matter how scary the visions of the end are, and a lot of people get wrapped up into talking about the end times in ways that are really unhealthy for their spiritual growth, that the main focus is that this is only temporary, and that you should be living and focusing and doing your lives for something more permanent, a permanence that is eternity with God in heaven. And that's the focus. That's why we need to understand the grace of God that saves us and cooperate with that grace and work it out in our lives and truly be the kind of Christians that he's called us to be. Because that's the only hope we have of eternity. If we truly understand that God is waiting for us, because Jesus Christ, who once offered sacrifice for sins and took forever his place in a position of power, declared to be the right hand of God for image sake, and that he's now waiting there until all of his enemies are made his footstool. He's waiting for you too, to also put your enemies, which are his enemies, under your footstool, so that you too can be delivered from death into life, so that you don't have to be conquered by sin and temptation. You don't have to be an adulterer, a liar, a thief, or anything else. A murderer. You don't have to take joy in hurting other people. You can put that enemy under your footstool too and offer that back to God, so that when you finally get into eternity, you have his blessing and have him as your inheritance and not the sin that you so willingly run after today. Because that bottle of whiskey, that cigarette, that extra thing that you're taking that's not right, is not something that you want to carry into eternity with. You would rather have the portion that is God Almighty, a portion which you can have every day at Mass if you are in a state of grace, and something that you can always seek in prayer, which is a true relationship that transforms you and makes you more, something more than just a usual kind of thing, but something that can transform the world to the glory of God and really impact what you are for all eternity. So with that in mind, I want to encourage you to, when you think about the end time, don't think about it from the standpoint of trying to figure things out, because it's not about figuring things out. You should be able to know pretty much when the end time is from the standpoint of looking at your own life. The only thing you really have is the life that you have. I remember a priest one time pointing out to me, it makes no difference if the end of the world's going to happen in 3 months if you die in 2 days. So you have to be able to look at it from the standpoint of, what does this benefit me? What does it mean that the heavens and earth will pass away and that's guaranteed? Do I want to hold on to something that's passing? Do I want something that is only temporary and not an eternal fix? Or do I really want to find myself being satisfied with God? To experience what St. Augustine once said, that our hearts are truly restless until they find our place in him. And do we really, truly want him above any sin, whether it's adultery or some other sexual sin or some other thing that we covet or steal or take from others or don't give the proper honor where it's due or blaspheming the name of God by how we speak and act, because our actions can also blaspheme God too. Little things that we may not consider, because we need to be vigilant at all times, and we need to pray to have the strength, the grace, to be able to stand before the Son of Man, knowing that He is our inheritance for all eternity. Hopefully this blesses you and transforms your life, and if it's been a help for you in any way, I'd still like, if you're not a patron, to at least consider $5 monthly support for this particular podcast, which can be done at the link patron.podbean.com/dtesh, which is in the comment section below. And otherwise, I hope you have a great and blessed Sunday.